Network is back.
All right, let's get back into it. The Culture Clash is on, and Greta Vosper's back with us. She's a minister at the West Hill United Church, and Faith Goldie, reporter and conservative commentator at Sun TV News. And, piece of news that we were sharing this morning, a story on the front page of the National Post. I wanted to ask you, run past you, because there's a whole new, I guess we're talking about expanded rights, and, when we're talking about religious rights versus competing rights to freedom of expression and all. How about invisible disabilities now being suggested? The Human Rights Tribunal in Ontario is listening to a Hamilton woman's complaint that her six-year-old daughter subjected to foodstuffs in the school, but it's eggs and dairy, milk and eggs, and she wants those outlawed in this particular school or banned, much as peanut butter has and maybe other things, citing her daughter if she's not accorded the same considerations as kids with peanut allergies. It's a form of discrimination. Faith Goldie, that makes sense to you?
No, our first mistake was banning all peanuts from elementary schools. Look, whatever happened to just a nice little notice? By the way, there's someone here who's anaphylactic. If you could try and refrain. Apart from that, it's up to you parents to teach your kids to say, hey, does that have peanuts in that? Hey, does that have dairy and eggs in it? And if you're unable to do that, then, I mean, why are you thrusting this parental duty upon a school board and making every other parent's life that much more difficult? Because they're there is no sandwich left to be made should the meat and dairy and everything else be off the list.
Wow. All right. Well, sandwiches, I mean, maybe that's the ultimate. Either kids living in bubbles, no foodstuffs in the schools at all, which would address the obesity epidemic, wouldn't it, Greta?
Absolutely. Certainly would do that.
Where do we go with
this? I don't know whether or not this child has an anaphylactic reaction to these things
she
and whether or not they're airborne. The thing about nuts and peanuts is that the oils are often airborne, and so
same deal with
it can be a tragic situation in a matter of moments. And so I don't agree with Faith. I think that parents can take the responsibility of finding something else for their children to eat, and that was a very positive decision that's made. In terms of invisible accommodations for invisible disabilities, more and more places are putting up, please refrain from using scented products, because I think you probably have it in this building somewhere, refrain from using scented products because we have people who are allergic to airborne things like that cause problems. You know, we ask people to be polite about it. We don't mandate it. We don't make it
a
requirement. We don't send people home if their deodorant smells like, powder.
Hang on. Well, that's why Jimmy's no longer wearing Axe.
Jimmy, I'm so sorry for you.
I found it offensive, but to the old
I find
factories.
His smell now kind of offensive.
Where's the Axe?
Don't get that close.
But, this mother wasn't satisfied that the school was doing enough, so she took it the extra step to go to the Human Rights Commission. And so, everybody falls back on the law ultimately, or these commissions and tribunals, which, quasi-judicial, or while it does have the full force of the law behind it, do we want to extend that? I mean, sometimes just common discourse and reason can't accommodate both competing interests.
I agree. I think that there's got every child in that school will have some sensitivity to something that could be taken out of the classroom. Add to that religious prohibitions against certain kinds of clothing. Add to that preferences and the list goes on and on and on. I think when we're talking about the endangerment of a life, that we can ask a group of people, even if it's just a classroom, to be conscious of that and for parents to accommodate that. And I think that's important. And I think every parent who has a child that has an anaphylactic reaction to something teaches that child from the word go to ask those questions and to make sure that they don't eat anything that's been home-baked or that does not have an ingredient
list
beside it.
Well, that's all right. Faith made the point as well. It's just common sense should prevail, but it doesn't anymore because people have this default position to go to the law. And that's
certainly no. I was just going to share some anecdotal evidence here. What a lot of people don't know about me is that I was a fat kid growing up, and so I used to sneak peanut butter laced Ritz crackers to school, despite anaphylactic children there. And guess what? Nobody died.
Wow, you could have though if you would have continued unabated in that particular pursuit. You know who's really accommodating? It's Francois Hollande's wife. He's the president of France, and his wife was hospitalized recently. She got out, yesterday, after a tabloid spilled the beans that he was having an affair with an actress. She's taken him back. That's the latest word right out of France this morning. And I'm just curious because, from the female perspective, is this a setback for, say, the strong woman idea that she's going back to this philanderer? I mean, what do we make of this?
Well, I mean, she's the first common law first lady of France and perhaps all world history, as far as I'm concerned. So is she going a step backwards? No, this is the new it. This is the new idea of the couple. Common law, philanderers, swingers. I mean, when moral lines start to get erased, hey, there's, you know, nothing really off limits anymore. So is this out of characteristic from what we could otherwise expect from Mrs. Not Hollande? No.
So Mama Lady's on the right track with the brothels at the strip clubs and also presidential palaces. All right, Greta Vosper, do you think, I mean, look, in terms of some women are tisking it going, how could you possibly, you know, be humiliated and prostrate yourself here? Same deal. I mean, Hillary Clinton, she kind of bit the bullet, but it might stand her in good stead in 2016 after having endured Bill's philandering.
I'm uninterested in the sex lives of the leaders of the free world or any world. You know, I'm just uninterested in it. I'm interested in their perspectives on creating a sustainable future and things like that. I don't really don't care who
I'm
he sleeps
very
with.
Interested
but I
in
back
the
and
sex
say,
lives of our politicians.
I want to unknit a few stitches here and go back and say, I don't think it's funny that you got away with taking peanut butter lace crackers to the school.
I do not think it's funny
but
either.
But you did laugh. And you did say, you know, nobody died. But that was luck. That was pure luck. And encouraging a child to maybe pull that trick nowadays may not end up in such a lucky position as that.
And kids listening, really do not try this at home. Okay, we'll put out that disclaimer. I understand. However, what I'm saying here is that perhaps perhaps leveler heads could prevail insofar
as... Absolutely, I agree.
Those sorts of notices could go out to parents, and it's up to them. However, it's increasingly difficult for parents to prepare lunches for already finicky children, by and large. I was not one of those finicky children, mind you. I could eat pretty much anything. But it's increasingly difficult for them when these invisible, you know, threats are constantly perpetuated and shoved down the throats of folks within the public system.
And I don't think that it's illegal. I mean, we don't have laws that protect children from peanut butter. Mm. I mean, it's not like we've accommodated one and we
So she
to
didn't technically
another.
Break a law. She was just being indiscriminate. And right. So you're saying it's a character issue more than a legal one.
Perhaps.
Silence. Unbelievable. But you got into high dudgeon.
I'm not perfect, just forgive me.
All right. Well, there you go. I mean, in fact...
That's okay. I'm progressive. I'd forgive you anything.
Well, there you go. I mean, forgiveness is also built into your faith group, isn't it, Grant? So you were angered by that, and I get it. You know, it's funny because, and I'll dovetail to this last thing, because Ken Dryden wrote an op-ed piece in the Globe and Mail the other day, and some people are riffing on it. We did yesterday. He says there's palpable anger that exists in the land, that people are really upset. They're upset by their leaders, essentially. The elites and institutions have betrayed them, and I think he's onto something, Faith Gold. Did you sense it as well, that out there people are really pissed, and that, you know, they may not understand the phenomenon of a Rob Ford, but as a populist, if he represents holding the line at taxes under 2%, that is meaningful in a way to people who are living paycheck to paycheck, which is, you know, Fraser Institute came out with a study recently, two paychecks, three quarters of Canadians, or two thirds, I think it is, two paychecks away from insolvency. So what do we make about this?
Yeah, but frankly, I mean... Spare me. These people who are apparently so angry, get your butts out to the poll stations then. There's less than 50% voter turnout at mostly every single vote that takes place in any industrial nation. So don't tell me that you're angry when you're doing nothing about it. Look, we so-called journalists and media folks are paid to be angry and make mountains out of molehills. But I hope that most of us drag our butts to the poll stations. And that's really where you can affect some sort of change. So sitting in that rocking chair being grumpy won't do very much.
Greta Vosper, palpable anger out there. I mean, what do you hear from your constituents there in the church on Sunday? I mean, are they angry at government, certain institutions they feel betray them? What's your sense?
I think there's, I mean, some people are angry and some people aren't. Some people have the time to spend to find out that those mountains that you keep portraying are really just molehills and that there are other things that are more important. But those people who only get an opportunity to look at the mountains because that the rest of their lives are congested and they don't have the opportunity to dig down into all of it, yeah, some of them get histrionic about the stuff that you get histrionic about on the air. And so we need to pull back from some of that, I think. And yeah, we need to get people out to the polls, but not out to the polls on, you know, sound bites and keeping our taxes down. Don't keep my taxes down. Keep my costs reasonable. I think that's a very different thing. I mean, Rob Ford keeps talking about how he's held the line on taxes, but costs for people in the city of Toronto have gone up, and people in the city of Toronto pay zero taxes compared to the rest of us.
Here's another phenomenon.
You've got to talk about that.
Tell me if I'm right about this. There's a sense that there's a privileged class. If we've got class warfare that exists, it may be the privileged that have certain sinecures in their jobs, job security. As I see it, the public sector, for example, comes into, you know, the crosshairs. A lot of people saying, geez, who are these people to bleat about?
People are the middle class. That's what we're talking about. When you're talking about the public sector, you're talking about the middle class. You're talking about people who created and helped to sustain an economy that allowed most Canadians to prosper to some degree. If you want to be angry,
be angry about the sunshine list.
Well, yeah, all right.
The sunshine list.
But I was saying...
Well, yeah, but the sunshine list in Canada is very different from the sunshine list in the United States.
What's the difference?
A huge amount. I mean, we're talking about the top percentage of Canadians in the public sector,
right.
And even in corporations is not anywhere near what that top percentage is in the United States. The difference between the top paid executive and the person on their line, the lowest paid person in their company, that's something we don't live with.
Am I to understand that people are angry because other people have more? That to me is a really backwards way of living your life.
Well, there's that, but also when we say more, they might see them as being in privileged positions, for example.
And so good for them. They obviously or likely worked hard to get there.
Well,
and there's the question. What do we do to earn the money that we make these days? And who makes the big bucks? And what are they spending their time doing?
What am I doing to make big bucks if what
I get
I'm not.
That. And if I'm a person working in a lower economic bracket, close to the poverty line, in a two-parent family with four kids, and I have to take public transit to get, you know, my kid to daycare and another public transit to get someplace else. My bottom line, if I'm working my butt off 10, 12 hours a day just to get home to start cooking dinner, I don't really feel that reflecting on what I'm doing to make myself get ahead is really the only issue that needs to be discussed. I think that there are a lot of systems in place that could be reviewed, could be reworked, could be
supported so that we can strengthen our families instead of just exhausting them. Do you think there's a need for a greater redistribution of wealth then to make people seem like the playing field's being leveled and less anger then would result?
I don't know that it's – I don't want it to seem that there's a more level playing field, but I think that we want to live in a country where we care for the people around us. I want to live in that kind of country. I want to live in a country where I'm willing to give up a little bit so that someone else is willing to get what it is that they need. Not what they want particularly, but what they need. And I think that that's the kind of principles Canada grows through the instrument of state,
or do we already have free opportunity to go out and make your own fortune?
It already is done largely through the institution of state, be it through welfare or socialized health care. We already take care of the least well off in society. What I'm concerned about is equality of opportunity, which I truly believe we have in this country.
Well, I think that you need to spend some time with some of the Aboriginal communities in this country. I think you need to spend some time in some of the Toronto Housing
Corporation buildings.
Brett, how is it that
we spend $9 billion a year on Aboriginal communities, and year after year after year, they still languish in poverty? Where is the disconnect? Many of them do.
Absolutely they do. And the disconnect is that those communities often don't have the right to self-determination. They don't get to tax their people. They don't have economic activity. Could be. No, I don't think. I think that in some situations, we live in a city where a lot of people feel betrayed by their leadership. That people betray the people that they lead all the time. But that's not a blanket thing to say about Aboriginal communities. I think the Aboriginal communities need to be able to sit down at a table where people are going to negotiate with them with integrity instead of just trying to rip them off, as we have done over the last couple of centuries.
Were you at the Neil Young concert, by the way, at Massey Hall the other day?
Tickets were too expensive.
Lucky him, I wasn't there.
You weren't there, yeah. Would you have railed against Neil in his crusade against
you? Yeah, speaking of Aboriginals, oil sands, the number one employer of Aboriginals across the country.
Well, and Neil Young doesn't believe that they should be working there, I guess. So I don't know if he's against Aboriginal employment or what the takeaway is. But thank you both for a feisty discussion. Greta Vosper, minister at the West Hill United Church. Faith Goldie from the Sun News Network. Again.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Faith.
Thank you, Johnny.
Reconvene down the road.